Hi, it's Mary again. I'm here with Al Vasari. He's someone who's very familiar to you now since you spent 2 days with him in the Innovation and Strategic Leadership Workshop. And Al and I are going to talk for a few minutes here about today's business environment and a term that Al has used called the network economy. Hi, Al. Thanks for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mary.
Now, you've often said that today's business environment is a networked economy. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think if you go back to the industrial model, the age that preceded the information age that we live in today, we always used to draw the symbol of an organization as a big, tall pyramid. And that's because it really resembled the nature of how organizations worked. Clear lines of authority, narrow spans of control, total vertical and horizontal integration. You did it all yourself. You owned everything. You were a monolithic enterprise. Mm-hmm. As we've gone through the shift driven by globalization and the information technology explosion, we've seen that model really truly crumble. And what we see today is a very different model, where organizations are focusing on identifying their core competencies, mm-hmm. what it is they do or want to do better than anyone else. And then in order to take those core competencies to market, organizations increasingly are surrounding themselves with strategic and tactical partners to help them to do business, whether it be partners that help them to manufacture products, or supply chain partners that help to supply them with materials, or joint venture partners that help them to develop new markets. The nature of the competitive environment today demands cooperation, it demands alliances, it demands the building of a network.
Now, what are the people implications to all of this?
Well, I think what it comes down to is recognizing that leadership in this environment, it's not an individual process, it's a collective. And maybe that's why I'm so fond of Jim Collins in his book, Good to Great, when he talks about step one in the process is get the right people on the bus. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you as an individual can't accomplish much of anything. But if you surround yourself with the right team, the right complementary partners, your combined capabilities can enable you to do incredible things. That's, again, the companies building their operating networks. That's why governments are forming trading blocks. The issue is you can't survive and prosper on your own. You've got to connect. So the ability of a leader to develop their skills in identifying complementary capabilities in other people, surrounding themselves with those people, listening to those people, facilitating interaction with those people, that's the secret to success.
Yeah. Your comment there made me think, too, of this other thing I've heard you say, which is that you've said that a company needs to have both roots and wings. So how do you do that, keep your feet on the ground and still have wings and stretch?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a great question as well. And I think a company like Dow is a great example. Dow's 100-plus years old, a tremendous company with an incredible legacy. And there would be no reason on the face of the earth for Dow to ever walk away from those roots, from the essence of that legacy. And in fact, the thing is, as you know from a personal standpoint, you can't walk away from your roots, mm-hmm. where you're coming from. That's where your values were formed. That's where your capabilities were built. But again, if you think about it, Charles Darwin may have said it best when he said, it's not the strongest species that survives, it's the one that's best able to evolve. Mm. Right? It's just not longevity, it's not how big your bank account is, it's not how successful you are as a business that will enable that business to succeed in the long run, it's the ability of that business to adjust and evolve. So the process really says you've got to honor your past, recognize what it is in your history that has made you a great company, but understand that to continue the legacy, you've got to move it forward. You've got to add to it. You've got to abandon some things that may no longer fit in this changed business environment.
So Al, what implications does that have, especially for leaders who are taking Dow into the transformation?
I think the best way I would frame it is to share with you a quote from a guy by the name of James Ross. And when I first met James, he was president of British Petroleum of America. And he went on to be chairman of Cable and Wireless, the UK-based telecom company. And he was working with the folks in what was then the US headquarters for BP in Cleveland, Ohio, and sharing with them BP's vision of the future when it was trying to evolve from being, many would argue, the worst performing oil company in the world to what was about to become, for at least a short period, the best performing oil company in the world. And as he was talking about their vision and what they wanted to become, there was a cynical person in the audience who raised his hand and said to him, James, you know, business isn't going very well for BP. You didn't handle this acquisition of Sohio here in Cleveland very well. how can you sit here and talk about this idea of vision in the future when business is just a disaster? You need to go out and talk with people and help them to recognize that it's going to get better. And he said, well, that's why we're here. He said, you know, the thing is, and this was his quote, seeing is auditing life, but vision is interpreting life so that others may see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key. You oftentimes hear the debate between what's the difference between management and leadership. I would argue Ross hit the nail on the head with that quote. Management is the process of auditing. And frankly, the old industrial model organization was really good at training managers to be good auditors, to make sure things got done. But in today's environment, we have all sorts of support to make sure things get done. The information technology explosion has given us tools that we could have never dreamed of even a couple of years ago. The issue for leadership isn't just making sure things get done. The issue for leadership is helping others in the organization to understand why it is we need to change and what it is we need to do to evolve and grow and be successful. It's playing that interpreter role. Now, if you're going to do that, my research at least says there are four key skills. Number one, the first thing you've got to do is become a boundaryless thinker. And we got these terms that I'm going to share with you from research that we did working with senior executive teams in about 160 major companies from organizations in over 40 countries, all sorts of industries. But what these leaders told us is that if we're going to pull off this transformation that every organization, not just Dow, is trying to do, even your competitors are trying to do it, okay, if we're going to pull it off, we need leaders who are first and foremost boundaryless thinkers. They're not encumbered by the way we've always done things. They're not afraid to look at new ideas. If you're thinking in a boundaryless way and looking outside, and the second thing you need to be is a network builder. You've got to recognize you can't do anything on your own. It's the team, it's the connections, it's the network that you build around your future that's going to enable you to get there. If you're going to make the network work, the third thing our leaders told us is that you need to have the skills of an effective diplomat. And what do diplomats do? They bring constituents together and they convince those constituents that by working together they can achieve more than they could by working on their own. And finally, if you're going to really make that diplomacy effort really pay off in results, you have to have the skills of an effective interpreter. You have to help each partner recognize what they bring to the relationship. You have to help each partner recognize and respect what others bring to the relationship, and you have to help them achieve synergy. It's that ability to blend those capabilities together to pursue new ways of doing business and to get people excited about it. That's really what drives the whole transformation process.
Now, Al, what advice, again, would you give to folks? Let's say the people, obviously, who are listening to this podcast, I believe, are boundaryless thinkers, you know, the diplomats, the networkers. I mean, they get that. What advice can you give them who are maybe still working in a bit of an old structure? How can they succeed, and how can they go forward doing what they know they need to do right, when not necessarily everybody has seen the world the same way, and what success was for that group is not the same as what success will be for this group?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, again, it's really the nature of the definition of what a leader is all about. And what a leader is someone who makes a difference, someone who makes an impact, someone who helps others to achieve more than they could by operating the way they are individually and independently. And again, I'll use someone else's words to tee up what I'd like to say about that. And if you remember Arthur Ashe, the famous tennis player, mm-hmm. who once he was diagnosed with AIDS that he had encountered during a blood transfusion, actually, in the early stages of AIDS when we didn't know how to treat it, he became, I would argue, one of the foremost, if not the foremost, humanitarians of the latter half of the last century. And just before he passed away, he was interviewed, and the interviewer said to him, Arthur, you've achieved a level of impact that all of us could only aspire to, and you've done it under such difficult circumstances. What's the secret? And he said, well, it's very simple. If you want to make a difference, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. Right? Mm. And when you think about this whole idea of this major shift that's going on in the economy, the shift from the industrial age to the information age, the globalization and information technology explosions that are driving this shift, the changes in values and markets, and the things that are going, it's pretty overwhelming. And when you start to think about that, an awful lot of people step back and say, you know, if only the leaders of this company would define our strategy or would do something different, we could be successful. My argument is the moment you accept a position that requires you to, in one way or another, influence or be in charge of other people, you become one of them, one of the leaders that has to do something. And I think we need to heed the words of Arthur Ashe. You got to start where you are, use what you have, do what you can to help people understand how the world is changing, what we need to do to be successful, and what it means to me as an individual. That's why you come to a program like Lead to Breakthrough, is you're being exposed to how the world is changing and what we need to do and what you can do to drive it. As a leader, you've got to take those messages back into the organization, share them with your colleagues. You come to a program like this to have your thinking positively contaminated so that you can go back and positively contaminate the thinking of the people who work with you and for you. If you walk out of here with the lessons in your mind but don't share them, I think the program has failed.
Absolutely.
If you walk out of here and go back and engage the people who work with you and for you in discussing the things that really triggered for you some serious thought, it is amazing the power that this few days that you've spent together, or time that you've spent together, the power that this will have to transform this organization.
That's fabulous, Al. That's great. Well, thanks for joining us here today. And to the audience, here's a message from two positive contaminators. And again, to quote Arthur Ashe, start where you are, use what you can.
Use what you have.
Start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can.
You
thanks
got it.
A million, Al.
Thank you, Mary.
All right. Bye-bye.